All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the blessings and the time that we've already spent and been fed and blessed in your presence. Lord, I thank you for just pouring out of yourself on us and for us. Father, I pray this morning as we open your word again that you would speak to our hearts, and Father, that you would give us what we need this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
And just pray for me and the Sunday school teacher. I know that when they do things like this, you remember the story better. When they remember Joseph, they'll probably always think of ups and downs. But I don't see myself as a very necessarily as a creative person. So just pray for me that I come up with ideas that help the children that reinforce the lesson in their mind. Because I know it makes them excited about the story.
All right, I want to start this morning with just kind of start out by defining what our soul is. The Bible talks a lot about our soul. Our soul is the essence of who we are. Our soul is the seat or the basis of our emotions, our appetites, our desires. It's what makes us who we are. It's where our emotions come from. It's where our desires and our will comes from. And we are given a responsibility by God to take charge of and to be in charge of and to take control of our soul, to bring it into subjection and to make it to be what it ought to be. But many times in our lives when we are going through things, when troubles come, when trials come, whatever they be, whether they be physical or just spiritual, temptations or hardships or discouragement or whatever it might be, depression, whatever, our reaction naturally is to take a very passive kind of an attitude towards that. And to just, our knee-jerk reaction, you see this all the time in you know, people around us, our reaction is always, well, that's just the way it is. I mean, I'm just down. I don't know why, but I'm just down. And especially I feel like maybe it's not so, but sometimes I feel like, especially in our generation, that most of the people around us, and many times ourselves also, we tend to just be very controlled and just go with the flow of how we feel about things. And it tends to always be downward. It tends downwards, the natural flow of things. Unless something just amazing, perfectly goes our way, our natural tendency, our natural flow is to always be on a kind of a downward, depressed, discouraged trend. But I want to look kind of extensively at a couple of chapters in the Psalms this morning where David, well, not all of them are specifically assigned to David, but I think most of them are David's writings, and see how he handled this, because David was a man who had, like Joseph, had many ups and downs, and really had not an easy life. From a pretty young age, God had made it clear and even anointed him to be king, but that didn't give him a cushy life by any means. He actually, because of that, spent a huge portion of his life having trouble from others who wanted to take that from him. We think of a king as very forceful and, you know, taking control and ruling with an iron fist. And some kings do and have ruled that way. But David did not. And so in his patient waiting on God, in his being faithful to let God move on his behalf. David spent a lot of his life waiting for things to be fulfilled. David spent a lot of his life striving and seeking to find peace from God in the middle of persecution, in the middle of being defamed and his name dragged through the dirt, even by his own son, and being chased all over the countryside by the then reigning king, and even having his own wife taken from him and given to another man because the king said, oh, well, he's gone. I don't claim him as a son-in-law anymore. I'm going to give her to somebody else. And David didn't have an easy life by any means. And David, like every human being, had to struggle with and fight against his natural tendency for his soul, his emotions, his will, his tastes, to struggle with that, to fight against that, to resist, to be at the very least just depressed and gloomy all the time. But in Psalm 42, I want to start this morning and just look at how David responded to this. And I think we can take this as a pattern, and we should take this as a pattern. In Psalm 42, David here, he writes, as the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. He here is feeling a dryness. He's feeling a need, a lack. And his response here is proper. His response is, God, you're the answer. I'm longing, I'm chasing after, I'm thirsting, I'm aching for you, because I know you are the one who can satisfy this. He says, verse 2, he says, my soul thirsteth for God, thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And you can feel the ache in his being as Paul talks about the whole creation yearning and longing to be delivered from the body of this flesh. And you can feel the psalmist here, just his heart just swelling and reaching out. God, when will I be delivered from my own restrictive flesh? When can I come? When shall I come and appear before God? I'm longing. I'm thirsting. I'm dry. I need more of you, God. He goes on in verse 3. He says, my tears have been my meat or my food day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? He says, this is literally what's been my food. My all that I'm receiving is tears. And I don't think he's just speaking of people around him here saying, where is thy God? But his own heart, his own soul, his own emotions, his own mind going, does God really love me? Where is God? Where is this Father who has given me freely all things? Where is it? I don't feel it. I don't see it. I'm not experiencing that. And his heart is aching and longing, and he's down and depressed. He's struggling with this. Verse 4, he says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. I was along with them. I was trying. I really wanted to praise God. I really wanted to see his goodness. I really wanted to be reminded of those things, but my soul is dry, like a desert. I just can't find the water that I need. I can't find the strength that I need. And here in verse 5, he takes control of his emotions, and he stops being just at the mercy of them. And he says, hey, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He's taking authority. he's taking responsibility of his soul, of his emotions. He's saying, no, I'm not going to just wallow in this. I'm not going to just continue in the, oh, poor me, and down in the dumps. Why are you cast down? Come on. Oh, my soul, I will praise God for the help of his countenance. I saw a little sign this morning on the way into church that said, trust in God, you don't know, something like, trust in God, you don't know what's coming yet, what might be coming yet. And there can be good in that. I don't think that's the proper perspective, because that's putting your hope in what you think is coming in future, and hey, there's brighter days ahead. What David's saying here, what the psalmist is saying here is, I'm going to trust in God, not based on the good I hope and expect will come, but based on the good that I can already see he's done every single day for his people, for me, and for all those who love him. He says, I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 6, he says, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizor? He says, I'm struggling. My soul is depressed. My soul is drugged down. This is what I am determining I'm going to do. I'm going to remember God. I'm going to take charge of my emotions. I'm going to take charge of my soul, and I'm going to lead it kicking and screaming, you, let's come back and remember God. And remember the good that he has already done for me, and the help of his countenance, which literally just means his smile, his presence, his goodness that he's already poured out on me and in my life. I love the little song about I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. He said, if I should go on living and I don't get any more blessings than I've already received, it's already more than enough. He says, I'm already so blessed. I could live on that, and I should be able to live on that for the rest of my days. Verse 7, he says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. He's honest with himself here. He's not pretending that life's not hard. He's not saying, oh, well, it's not really been that bad. No, I'm drowning. If you aren't willing to be honest with yourself about the struggles in your life, you're not going to find the grace that is available. You have to be able to admit and say, yeah, I'm having a hard time. I'm struggling. I'm drowning. I need help. Yet, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will sing praises, and I will pray to God, my Father, because I know he is the source of my strength. I know he's taken care of me in the past, and he will take care of me in the future. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? You and I, in our day and age, many times we're not facing a physical enemy who's lambasting God, the Creator. But our own hearts, our own minds are often saying this to us, where is thy God? And we sometimes are going to have times in life when it's going to feel like we're going about with a sword in our bones. And our enemies reproach us daily on every side. Where is thy God? But verse 11, he says again, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. I command my own soul, hope thou in God. Yes, the billows have gone over my head. Yes, I have struggled, and there's difficulties, and there's hardship. I will yet praise him. I will yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. This isn't based on my circumstances. It's not pretending that my circumstances don't exist. It's not ignoring them, but it's simply saying, in spite of all of that, I will choose to praise God, and I will take my thoughts and my heart and my emotions by the neck, by the collar, and we will go and we will praise God because he is good. Many times our tendency is to simply be a passive recipient of whatever comes our way in life. Well, I don't know, I'm just down. It's just the way it is. Well, why are thou cast down, O my soul? Let's remember, remind my heart of what God's done for me and for his people so far. And now, based on his character and who he is, let's look towards the future with hope in God. Not that the circumstance will maybe be better. It could always be worse. Well, that's fine until it is worse. Let's turn on over to the next chapter here, Psalm 43. He says, "Judge me, O God, or vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Difficulty overwhelming this soul, and yet he's crying out to God with a thirst and a longing, and he's saying, "Come, O my soul, come. We will praise him. We will lift up his name. I will remind myself of who he is and his character and his unchanging, enduring love. I will take control of my heart and my soul." I want to turn on over to Psalm 104. And again, we see here the psalmist commanding his soul, taking charge of his soul, taking responsibility, and says here in Psalm 104, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty." And here he sets an example of just beginning to remind his own heart and mind and his own soul of who God is and what God's done. He says, "Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layest the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind." He's consciously, intentionally taking charge of his thoughts and his emotions and his attitudes here, and he's saying, "I'm going to take the time and make the effort to turn my heart consciously back to God and remind myself who he is and who I serve." He says, "Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever? Who coverest it with the deep as with a garment? The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled away. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away." God's in control. He's reminding his own soul, God's all-powerful. Everything has to submit to his will. They go up to the mountains, they go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run along the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy work. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of men, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. And here he's just reminding his soul again of how well God takes care of his creation, how well God takes care of those he loves and those he's made. And he's reminding his soul, hey, oh my soul, praise the Lord. Come and be reminded again of who he is and how good he is and how faithful he is. He says, he causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and the herb for the service of men, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. God's created a place for each one of his creatures to care for them. This is love. This is care. He's reminding his heart of who God is, of God's character. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the field do creep forth. The young lions roar after the prey, and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together, and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping, innumerable, both small and great beasts. Now he's turning his focus away from all the land creatures and all the things that God's done here on the land. And he says, now look at the sea, O my soul. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping, innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that thou mayest give them, that thou givest them, they gather, and thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. God, without your sustaining hand, nothing would be here. My very life is sustained by you. The life of every living creature is sustained by you. The glory, verse 31, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to the God, to my God, while I have my being. I have made this choice, and I will take control. I will take authority over my mind, over my soul, over my emotions, and I will sing praise unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. But bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise Him. I will take my heart and my soul and all of my weakness, and I will constrain it to be subject to the King of Kings. I will take charge of my emotions and my thoughts, and I will bring them into subjection to God. He is worthy. I will remind my soul of who He is. I will remind myself of what kind of a God I serve. And I will bring myself back to a state of peace, surrender to His will, and dependence and trust in Him. I will do that. I'm not going to let myself just continue to wallow in what I feel and what I experience. Those things aren't unreal. They're true. They're real. But I don't have to allow them to sway me all over the place. God is King, and He rules in heaven and on earth, and I will trust Him. I will praise Him. I will remind my heart of who He is. I love the example that is set forth here. Such a strong testimony and example to follow. Yes, there's trouble. Yes, it's hard. Yes, I feel dry and lonely and empty and cast down. But I will call my heart and my mind to remembrance of who God is. I will praise Him. And I love how the psalmist talks to himself here, calls to his own soul and says, "Oh my soul, come on, let's remember. Let's praise the Lord. Let's remember. I'm going to instruct you now. You sit and listen. Stop wallowing in your feelings. I am going to take charge of you now, and I'm going to tell you and remind you who God is. I'm going to take charge, and we will praise the Lord. We will. Come on, oh my soul, we will do this. We will remember. I will remind you. Let's praise this God who is so worthy." I want to look at Psalm 146 as well. 146 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul." Again, commanding his own emotions, his own soul, his own being. Come on, let's praise the Lord. "While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being," as long as I'm alive. "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish." And I believe here the psalmist is not just talking about other men. Don't put your trust in other men. But don't put your trust in yourself either. Don't put your trust in yourself, because you are a man as well, and you will perish. Verse 5, "Happy is he that hath the Lord God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in God, in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever." God is faithful and true forever, "which executeth judgment," or justice, "for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoner. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous." This is God's character and personality. And here he is again, reminding his own heart. This is the God you serve. You don't serve some mean, overbearing, heavy-handed dictator. You serve a God who looses the prisoner and feeds the hungry and opens the eyes of the blind and raises those that are bowed down and loves the righteous. The Lord preserveth the stranger. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Israel, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord. And I believe, based on the first verse, he's again speaking to his own soul. Praise the Lord. Me, myself, my soul, praise the Lord. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fall, as is every other human being. We're frail. We're going to pass away. But God reigns forever. And I will put my trust in Him. I will make that choice. Now, today, my soul, we will make that choice. He's taking the mastery of his own thoughts and will and not letting them run away. Notice, he's not trying to negate. And I've already touched on this, but he's not trying to minimize or pretend that those struggles aren't real. He's simply saying they don't really matter in light of eternity. And God is still good. God is still on the throne. And all of this will pass, but God will remain. The troubles of today will be forgotten in a couple years. But God's faithfulness must not be forgotten. He's been faithful in the past, so I know he will be faithful now. As Paul says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I don't know how it's working together right now. This trouble and trial I'm in, I can't see it as a good thing, but I know who's in charge. And he works all things to the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so I will trust in him even still through this. I will praise him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, we are commanded to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Many times we think of this as specifically evil thoughts, but this is every thought. This is the depressed thoughts. This is the poor me thoughts. This is the does God really love me thoughts. Every thought. Bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This is the pattern we see in the Psalms that we've read. He was casting down those things. He was taking those thoughts captive. He was saying, no, you're not going to run wild and run away with me. I'm not going to be blown around by these things. I will take control of them. I will take them captive, and I will bring them to obedience of Christ. Every thought. Oh, my soul, I will praise him still. I want to challenge you as you go through this week. Talk to your soul, to take charge of your thoughts and your emotions and your will and your attitudes and say, no, I will not just let what happens happen. I will be master of the will and the emotions that are in me, and I will praise God. I will remind myself of who he is. I will remind myself of his character. I will remind myself of all that he's done in the past and all that he is, and I will trust him. I will bring every thought captive to obedience to Christ. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning for your help and your empowering that we might bring our thoughts, our will, our emotions, our soul to be subservient to Christ Jesus, to kneel before him and to acknowledge him as the Almighty, all-powerful, all-good Father God that he is. Father, I pray you would help us on a daily moment-to-moment basis to learn to do this, to be in control of our will, of our soul, and to take control and to bring it, to bring praise and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.